Today we are talking with Nancy Spradling, the executive director of the California School Nurses Association, who has a BS from UC Davis in consumer food science. Nancy is here to talk to us today about National School Nurse Day. Welcome to KVMR.
Thank you.
Nancy, as I've just said, you have a degree in consumer food science, and yet you are the executive director of the California School Nurses Organization.
Yes.
And how did that happen?
Actually, it was because of my experience in PTA for many, many years. And my last 6 years in PTA, I was on the state board. And the last two of those were, my position was the vice president for health.
I'd like to talk to you about school nurses because I think we're kind of divided as parents between those of us who are alarmed that we don't see enough school nurses and those of us who don't understand what school nurses do. So let's start off with the basic things that school nurses do.
Well, actually, let me start with the background of a school nurse. That's what most people really do not understand. To be a credentialed school nurse in California, you must have your baccalaureate degree. You must have your RN license. You must have a minimum of 27 units postgraduate specific to school nursing. That gives you then a credential from the Commission on Teacher Credentialing. It's what they call a health services school nurse credential. Many school nurses going through those programs today are actually ending up with master's degrees. That postgraduate work is what distinguishes the school nurse from just an RN. And in California, there are also two levels of RN. You can be an RN with what they call a diploma RN, who's taken her a community college course, and then you have the RNs who've taken the full four-year baccalaureate program.
I think a lot of people don't realize that a lot of RNs have the two-year community college degree or diploma.
Exactly.
And you may run into primarily those two-year nurses, two-year RNs, but we're talking here about a four-year plus a post-bac certification program.
That's exactly right. When you look at the coursework that the credentialed school nurse goes through in order to have that credential and to function into the schools, it includes comprehensive health assessment skills, neurological assessment for special education, education assessment tools, communicable disease training, child abuse training, nursing diagnosis care plan, health education, education code requirements for specialized health care needs, community health, nursing and community health theory, comprehensive mental health, child growth and development, just a huge number of courses that the baccalaureate program for a nurse doesn't cover because it's very specific to preschool through, say, well, for sure through 12, but with special ed kids, they go up to 21, 22.
Is it specific for someone who is meant to be working on her own in an environment rather than in an office environment with
Absolutely.
A doctor on hand?
Yeah, and it's actually not even so much the office environment. The nurses, when they come from the clinical side, coming from, say, a hospital, they have doctors right there. They have other nurses right there. They have all of the technology, all of the techs themselves right there to do whatever's necessary for the patient. Whereas on a school site, they're it. And they may not even have access to any other nurses, even within their own school district.
And if they actually have more students than one human being can provide hands, or they can delegate some of their duties to other staff?
Delegate is not quite the right word for it, because in California, school nurses are nurses first and in the education setting second. So they must follow the Nursing Practice Act. And the Nursing Practice Act in California does not have delegation per se.
Okay.
Okay. So there are certain things that only a nurse should be doing on a school campus. There are some things that were changed in the Ed Code to allow only on the school setting an unlicensed person to provide. And specialized physical health care procedures is in essence what it's called. And that would be, for instance, a child who needed a trach suctioned or a child who was catheterized, a child who has a gastric feeding tube.
a child with a gastrostomy or a tracheostomy actually has a tube going into their body that the nurse would then to interact with in a professional manner. It's not something that just anybody could handle.
That's correct.
Whereas in the past, someone who had that sort of specialized equipment might have been segregated into a special environment. The mainstreaming means that you can have that kind of special equipment and yet be mainstreamed into the main environment that most students would be in.
Exactly.
And what about just things like diabetes or asthma? So if a school does not have a school nurse, and I kind of would like to talk about why we're not seeing more school nurses, but if a school doesn't have a school nurse and does have children with asthma or diabetes, how is that handled?
It depends on the needs of the child. In some school districts where you have a child with diabetes, and let's say the child is capable of self-administration, but you still have to worry about, for instance, hypoglycemia. You know, if a child suddenly gets very low and is not capable then of being able to drink some juice or eat a piece of candy, the Ed Code does allow unlicensed volunteers to be trained to administer the glucagon.
Okay. The substance that they're going to drink. Is that right?
No, or it's actually stuff, it's going to be injected into them.
Okay, so it does allow unlicensed person to do an injection if absolutely necessary in some environments.
Exactly. Glucagon is one, and that's because glucagon will do no harm, but if it's not administered, the child could die or be brain damaged.
Okay, so the risk
is truly an emergency situation.
Okay.
Another aspect that the Ed Code has been changed to allow is an unlicensed person can administer epinephrine through an EpiPen. Okay, and the same thing. The child has a very short period of time between the time that he's exposed to an allergen and when he starts developing anaphylaxis, which in most cases, you know, they say there's about 15-minute period and the child could die. Those two cases, an unlicensed person can be trained to administer. So if a child is capable of self-administration and somebody is there to handle glucagon if necessary, then the schools manage. When they get a child who is not capable of administering insulin, let's say they're 4.5 or 5 years old, they're not capable yet, then that's where it gets sticky because the school district by law should be bringing in a nurse, whether it is a credentialed school nurse, an RN, or even an LVN, a licensed vocational nurse, who is at least licensed and capable of administering that medication. But many districts are not doing that. That's where we have the issues, because you have some districts who will not bring in a nurse of any kind and will tell the parent, too bad, you're out of luck, your child can't attend school here. Or they may tell the parent, you have to come in every day. We don't care where your job is. You have to come in every day to give your child the insulin that he needs. Or they may turn around and train some unlicensed clerk in the office to do it. And that, of course, is completely against the law and potentially very dangerous.
I had the experience of when my youngest son was in elementary school, they would call me, even though I had provided him with a rescue inhaler when he had asthma, they would call me and wouldn't let him have the rescue inhaler until I got there.
Oh, boy. Wrong. I guess it was about 5-6 years ago we worked to change the law, and now it's very clear in the education code that kids with inhalers and kids who carry or who need an EpiPen are allowed to both carry it and to self-administer, as long as they have parent permission and physician permission. But again, districts with no nurses don't realize that the law has been changed.
Right, because a nurse is sort of an overseer of, I mean, she's the person, the liaison between the law, the medical community, the community at the school, the community in which the school resides. You know, she's the one that needs to assess and explain and educate and make sure certain things are provided for, even checking out the school environment and identifying dangers and risks and doing something about making a policy or...
Absolutely. The position was designed many, many years ago to truly be the liaison between the medical field, the medical side, and the education side. You know, the school nurse was supposed to be the health professional in the education setting. Unfortunately, what's happened is over the years, school districts have marginalized the position. And I think it happened, started to happen right around when Prop 13 went into effect and school funding changed. But it happened, unfortunately, at a time when the need for school nurses was on the rise. But school districts, because of money issues, were determining that that was the easiest position to cut.
And I saw on the National School Nurses Association website, nurse-to-student ratios that are recommended would be one school nurse for every 750 students in a general population, mm-hmm. one school nurse for 250 students in a mainstreamed mixed population, and one school nurse for 125 students if it is a severely handicapped population. And yet, I found on another site that right now we have, if you spread all the school nurses out to all the 52 million students there are in the U.S., we'd have 1 to 1,555 at best.
At best. I was going to say California is actually much worse.
What is it in California?
Well, the average ratio, they believe, is about one nurse to, I think it's every 2,200-ish kids. But you have to understand that that truly is an average ratio. If you were to take out just two school districts, take out LA Unified and you take out San Diego Unified, suddenly the ratio would rise to one nurse for every 2,500 students.
Because LA Unified and San Diego Unified are doing a better job of providing nurses?
Yeah, they have much better ratios overall. Last year's ratio for San Diego was 1 to 840 nurses.
And what can people do? What can parents do? Or what can people who, you might not even have a child in school, but it matters to you?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is to determine what is going on in your local school district. I was at the PTA convention a couple weeks ago here in Sacramento, and talking to the moms and dads who were, you know, coming through the convention, many of them think that they have a school nurse because there's this wonderful person, Susie, Nurse Susie, who does a great job, and she's always there, and they don't understand that Susie is not a nurse. She's probably a health clerk or a health aide or a health tech or a health assistant. Districts are very creative in using those titles, and she's calling herself nurse just because she thinks it sounds better and doesn't understand that by calling herself nurse, she's actually also breaking the law. So these parents think that they have somebody with the background and the training and the experience necessary to take care of their children, and if they really check it out, they don't.
And if they check out the person's credentials, they also need to find out if that person is actually on campus 100% of the time.
Absolutely.
How many schools could a nurse potentially be, have you heard of, that a nurse could be potentially expected to take care of?
Well, I know that in Antioch, in Contra Costa County, in the Antioch School District, I believe it's something like 19,000 children, and there's one nurse.
One nurse for 19,000 children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, the average seems to be one nurse maybe has five schools.
On average.
On average, right. She's maybe at one school every day of the week. So every Monday she's at one school, and every Tuesday she goes to a different school. But again, there are about 1,100 school districts in the state. And, you know, they are everything from very small rural school districts to very large districts. I've seen everything.
And these nurses are not, again, not just there to screen, although screening is important, not just mm-hmm. to screen for vision and hearing and things like that, but screening for child abuse and neglect and depression and drug abuse.
Absolutely. And they're also there to case manage the children who have health care needs. They're there to supervise the unlicensed people who may be handing out the medications on a daily basis. They're there to supervise the unlicensed or an LVN who is there to provide some of the clinical care for some of the kids. They're there for disaster preparedness. They are there for emergencies. You know, you can't tell your child, if you're going to break your leg today, make sure the nurse is there.
Yeah. On Tuesdays only.
Exactly. Exactly. So the credentialed school nurse has a wide range of job duties.
And as far as disaster planning, it very much helps to have a nurse on the team if you're going to be doing disaster planning, because the other people in the school that are on disaster planning team may not have the background to realize what kind of health issues are going to come into play during
a
disaster.
Right. If you have a wellness council, you should have a school nurse on the wellness council. I mean, you know, if you have a number of children that are dealing with obesity issues and type 2 diabetes issues, then absolutely you should have a nurse involved. I think what you really have to look at is somebody needs to assess the needs of the kids. The state of California does not know how many kids have asthma or seizure disorder or who come to school having had a transplant. And until we get those kinds of numbers, we're not going to be really truly able to determine what the needs of these kids are and how many nurses we need to satisfy those needs.
What would you say to people who say we just don't have money for school nurses?
Well, I think a couple things. Number one, there are districts that have school nurses, and so why is it they are able to prioritize their funding and provide nurses, and yet other districts are not? I think we have hit a point where we have to look at providing more funding for the schools, specifically for nursing services. We so far, knock on wood, you know, the H1N1 could have been so much worse. But you get an outbreak, whether it's an outbreak of meningitis or an outbreak of pertussis in an area where the kids are not vaccinated, and that's where the everyday average family is going to be affected by this. And that's when it's most important to have credentialed school nurses. School nurses are public health nurses, first and foremost. You know, they're dealing with the communicable disease. They're making sure that the families are vaccinated, all of that.
They don't need time to understand and learn about these diseases and situations. They're already prepared because of their education.
Exactly right.
It's a safety issue.
It is. Absolutely. First and foremost, it is a safety issue. It's a liability issue for the school districts.
That's something to consider, too, cost-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you again for talking to us on National School Nurses Day.
Absolutely.
And we have been talking with Nancy Spradling. She is the executive director of the California School Nurses Association and has been so for nearly 9 years. Thank you again for sharing your expertise and your time with the listeners on KVMR.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.